You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
She is on her way. An appointment ran late. So Johnny Grayson's pulling extra duty today.
Howdy, howdy.
Howdy.
What's good afternoon. Man,
it's the guy show for a few minutes.
Yeah.
Way too much testosterone in these three
Way
rooms.
Too much. Way too much.
And too much tuna. How you doing, Scott Parks?
I'm well.
Did you smell the newsroom yesterday, too?
Here we go again. It never ends.
Yes, I did.
I mean, John, you know the rules of working in an office.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't always follow them, but I do like to think I know what they are.
In my defense, because I ate cod for lunch, I came in early thinking I could beat Sam to the punch, eat my cod, and be on my way.
Right.
Now, I will tell you this, Sam. I feel for you, because when I opened it yesterday, the Tupperware that the cod was in the newsroom, I didn't smell anything. When I got home last night to put the Tupperware in the dishwasher, it stunk up the entire kitchen.
Yeah, probably the whole house. You just got nose blind to it before you left the kitchen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He said to me, we ran into each other as we were walking in the building, and he said to me, for your sake, I brought chicken today. And I said, thank the Lord.
And the chicken smelled very good, I will say. It smelled fantastic.
Did you smell that too?
I did, yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Smelled fantastic.
Yeah, T made that last night. It was lovely.
Way better than cod or whatever that, lutefisk.
Lutefisk.
We are having salmon tonight, though, at home.
Oh, boy.
Maybe there'll be some leftovers that I can bring into work
there
tomorrow.
There better not be.
And maybe some scallops on the side. I don't know. I don't know if we're going to have time.
Okay.
Are you a fan of mushrooms? I mean, not the drug ones. Mushrooms, regular mushrooms that you eat.
There are still four in the refrigerator, spinach and artichoke dip stuffed. Yes, sir.
Do you know what is a, I just lost it. Was it a morel? I don't know, from different kinds of mushrooms. I know, like, button mushrooms. That's it. You know, like the ones that everybody uses. But there's a zillion different varieties. Chanterelle. Do you know what a chanterelle mushroom is?
No.
Okay, I don't know what a chanterelle mushroom is either. But there's a guy who apparently loved mushrooms to the point that it got him in a little bit of trouble. In Washington State, there were two guys who were out shrooming, looking for actual mushrooms, not looking for the psilocybin ones, and ended up on private property. Which you're not supposed to do. And finally, when the cops came to check in on these guys, they accused them of stealing mushrooms and asked them outright, have you guys been taking mushrooms off of this property? And they said, no, us? Mushrooms? No. I don't know what you're talking about, officer. But being no dummy, the cop continued to investigate and found that they did indeed have some mushrooms in the car with them.
They were poaching.
180 pounds.
Oh, my word.
Of mushrooms
are not heavy.
No, they're not. The picture of the buckets and buckets and buckets of mushrooms that were in the back of this guy's pickup truck. Absolutely unbelievable. And it's like, how did you forget that you had 180 pounds of mushrooms in the back of the pickup truck?
They didn't forget, John. They were lying.
Snozberries taste like snozberries?
Yes.
You know, this reminds me of my annual gripe about mushrooms.
Oh, are you going to insult all the mushroom hunters?
Morel hunting?
I hate that. I'm about to lose 50% of the audience here.
We're ready for you.
Every November I have to do this. Mm-hmm. I hate that they call themselves mushroom hunters. You can't hunt something that doesn't move.
That can't get away. Yeah.
I mean, you can deer hunt.
You ever hunt for them?
No, I look for them.
Mm.
You're a mushroom looker, gatherer. Seeker.
A mushroom seeker.
Harvester?
Yeah, harvester. I guess that would work.
Plucker.
So if you harvest a deer, could you not also harvest mushrooms?
You don't harvest deer, mushrooms? You hunt deer.
You harvest deer.
You harvest deer. It's the deer harvest.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard that term in my entire life.
That's what the MDC calls it.
Mm-hmm.
Missouri Department of Conservation.
I agree with you. I would. My dream is to see some guy out there with a box with a stick holding it up. You know, it's like, what are you doing, buddy? Waiting for the mushrooms.
They're coming.
They're on their way.
Do you get into a mushroom stand?
No, you're actually down on the ground.
Oh. Huh.
Walking carefully.
Why are morel mushrooms so valuable?
Because they're delicious.
I don't think I've ever had one.
They are delicious. They only grow in very specific portions of wet grasslands on the... Well, I'm not going to get into the details of where they are because the hunters out there will kill me for giving away those secrets.
Ah.
They are hard to find.
You mean the gatherers?
Yep.
Do they also grow in fairy circles?
Yes, absolutely.
They do? Okay, yeah. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So chanterelle mushrooms.
Which is what these were.
They're often sautéed or cooked in cream and pair well with meat, poultry, fish, omelets, and pasta.
Awesome. They're also big. I'm looking at a picture of some of these in the back. Yeah, they're like fist-sized.
From the text line, Scott.
Yes?
Have you ever put on an Easter egg hunt?
I have put on an Easter egg gather.
Okay. All right.
You can see the wheels turning in your head in that one.
Did you say people are suing Netflix over the Tyson fight?
People are already suing Netflix. The first lawsuit was filed on Monday in the state of Florida by one particular viewer. I would be surprised if this doesn't end up going class action. And he said he's suing for unspecified damages and going after Netflix for breach of contract. And this is going to be an interesting one because the same contract that you have with Netflix, you probably also have with Hulu and Amazon Prime and so they all have had streaming problems and buffering problems and things like that. So because this was a live event, does that put it into a different category? Because, you know, people who had a vested interest, like maybe bet on the fight, could say, okay, you damaged me because you didn't deliver this fight live like you promised me you were going to. And so I had to sit here and wonder, did I win? Did I lose my bet?
There is a thing called the internet.
Well, that's true, yeah.
But there are also people that signed up for the streaming service strictly to see that fight.
Exactly.
Which, by the way, they tried to put out a release that they broke a streaming record for most people viewing the same thing on a streaming platform.
A live performance.
The record should be most people trying to view the same stream for a live performance.
Most people watching a little circle go around the middle of their TV for 15 minutes.
You know, I'm glad now that I tried to stay up for that fight and fell asleep.
I had no interest.
Really?
None.
Now, I will say the two fights prior were fantastic.
Really? Because that's one of the things that everybody was crabbing about was the fact that it was like a four-hour undercard.
Six fights.
They did really upsell it. It was almost like a WWE event where a 12-round fight, you know, 36 minutes at most.
Yeah.
Why are we taking an hour and 15, hour and 20 minutes per fight?
Right.
That's because they were selling it up for the WWE effect.
Yeah, so, they were milking it.
We'll see. We'll see how these lawsuits go. But I do think, I mean, this is conceivably precedent setting. For all the other streamers, they're going to have to start rewriting their end user license agreements.
And somebody on the text line just said this is going to go nowhere.
It may not.
The contract, where did it go? Netflix terms of agreement nullifies all of these lawsuits. I'm sure it does.
Very likely.
If they have a lawyer even remotely worth his own salt, they're going to have it in the contract that they're not responsible for any disruptions of service.
Oh, I guarantee you they do. Disney Plus has a clause in their contract, the terms and agreements, that says that you are not allowed to sue the company for any disagreements you may have with the company. It has to go through arbitration.
Yep.
First.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they flexed that muscle when a woman who had food allergies died in one of the Disney park restaurants.
They also flexed.
Oh, that's right.
They also flexed that muscle in for one of the streaming services. There was somebody that tried to go after them for something on, it wasn't on Disney Plus. Was it on ABC? One of the streaming services.
Any of them under the umbrella.
Nope, you can't. Yeah. Anything under the Disney umbrella is covered by that.
So according to Netflix, 65 million households tuned in for the Jake Paul Mike Tyson fight.
Well, but they didn't.
That's just U.S. Worldwide, it was 109 million.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a crazy number.
They're going to have to get this fixed. Because keep in mind, Netflix, if I'm not mistaken, has some of the Christmas Day NFL games.
I believe they have both Christmas Day NFL games.
Yeah, both AFC ones.
The difference there, though, is that you're not going to have 109 million people tuning into the same
thing. But I'll tell you what,
But you're going to have a lot.
You had 30 million people watching the Bills and the Chiefs last week, and that Christmas Day game is your Steelers. against the Chiefs, right? You got your Steelers gear on right now. That game could be massive in terms of playoff implications. Mm-hmm. I mean, because the Steelers are what now? Eight and two. So they're in third place in the AFC overall right now. That game could be huge. And if it is, you could, again, have 30, maybe 35 million people, because nobody's working that day. It's Christmas Day. Yeah.
But here, we'll be able to watch it on broadcast TV.
Yes, that's true.
So,
and something nobody talked about with the Tyson-Paul fight, where were the preliminary card fights?
Were they not supposed to
be three more fights prior to the four that aired on the stream.
Wow.
Those three were not seen anywhere. I'm sure they happened at AT&T Stadium. But the stream started at 7 with the main card, and as far as I know, nobody got to see the three prior prelim card fights.
No,
Who knew? I had no idea.
Yeah, there were supposed to be 7 fights that night. The viewers only saw 4.
Well, I was reading secret documents behind my eyelids, so
I barely saw any of it.
I was fast asleep.
Buffering.
Oh, I pulled up my phone and just hopped around from totally legal stream to totally legal stream.
Yeah,
as
same
one would
here.
Drop out, I would switch to another.
I was watching some stream with French commentators, and there was Arabic writing on the screen. It was probably being routed through West Africa or something.
There was an NFL player who was there, who was just holding his phone up and
Facebook living it.
Yeah. I don't know if it was Facebook or Twitter or what, but yeah, he was live streaming the game. And so a whole bunch of people went and found his, because I think it was Twitter. And so he ended up with like a couple of million
people.
Probably not. But he ended up with a couple million people watching it.
Every stream that I saw on Twitter with the fight had 5 million or more people tuned into that stream.
Yeah, it was a crazy number because the people that wanted to watch it on Netflix couldn't.
John Grayson filling in for Dana Reich. She should be here in just a few minutes. Sam Stevie the Third. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ.
Well, hello.
Glad you could make it. Welcome in.
I'm
you
glad
don't sound
to be
like
here.
John Grayson.
I'm glad to be here for the Dana part of the Dana and Parks. Have a new primary care physician, and they had a cancellation, and the only time they could get me in was 1 o'clock. And so thank you. I hurried along as best I could, but I wanted to get my flu shot. I got my COVID shot.
Which means tomorrow you're going to be feeling like crap.
Oh, my left arm is like, oh, hello.
Well, but every time I've ever gotten a COVID shot, the next day I feel like I have COVID.
Oh, see, I don't think it affects me like that.
Oh, man, I remember a couple years ago, the Brenningers were having a graduation party for one of their kids, and it was on a Saturday, and I had gotten the COVID shot on a Friday night, or Friday evening at CBS. I went to the party, but I felt like death rolled over.
Okay, so I want to ask you, have you ever lied to your doctor? And I'm not saying that I did, but something funny did happen when I was in there. This is a brand...
Have you ever lied to your doctor? Yes, I'm not saying that I did.
To insurance fraud?
Here comes a confession.
No, not at all. But do you ever kind of feel like, oh God, they're going to judge me? Or, whatever. Like, this is the first time I've been there. So they wanted the full health history in the panel. Do you have cancer in your family? Like, all of those things. And I'm sitting there in tandem filling out the, waiver to get the flu shot because I'm trying to get to work. And she goes... And do you smoke? I said, absolutely not. Never.
You've never smoked
never,
in your life?
Ever. Oh. And she goes, alcohol? And I go, yes. And she goes, oh, it said no here. And I go, oh, yes. And she goes, and then there's that, there's that pause like, and.
Sure, of course.
And I said, I go, oh, just like one. And then there's this pause.
Bottle.
And she goes, there's a pause. And she goes, one.
Bottle.
And I go, a night? And she goes, one, what metric? And I go, glass? And she goes, oh, okay, I don't judge. I'm just making sure.
You lied to her.
I do not have a bottle of wine and I don't.
You
my
have close
God.
To
oh,
it.
Oh, I absolutely do not. I absolutely do not. In fact, we went to a restaurant last
you
night.
You know who lies to their doctors? Active alcoholics.
No. We went to a restaurant last night, and you can ask my daughter this. I had one glass and then a half of one and just left the rest of it on the table when we left.
Alcoholics can't do that.
Because I am getting up so early. I mean, I got up at 6:30 this morning. And so I did say, one-ish per night-ish.
So
and
I would
not
have asked
every
for a to-go
night.
Cup.
No, I thought about it.
You know
like,
how much
oh,
mine is?
That's $16 down the tubes.
How much do you have? One?
But, you know, there's that moment where they're asking you these questions. And I know if for everyone listening, there are things where it's like, okay, like, do I just say everything? Like, you're supposed to. But, like, if you smoke 3 packets a day, do you actually say to your doctor, yeah, I smoke 3 packs a day?
It's not like they don't already know.
They do know when you're lying, right?
Yes. Didn't I ever tell you the story? I was always very honest with, well, I wasn't always very honest. In the beginning, I wasn't. But, I, you know, they would say, do you drink? And I'm like, yeah. And like, how much? And I said, oh, a couple drinks a night, 3 drinks a night or something. You know, and yeah. It was way higher than that.
Yeah.
And every year I would go into my doctor, Dr. Buss, and I would always tell him, you know, he's like, Scott, I really think you need to cut back on the, he was looking at my numbers and everything. He's like, you really need to cut back on the drinking. Your liver enzymes are elevated, et cetera, et cetera. And I would always ask him, am I going to live long enough to see my kids graduate college?
Yep.
And every year he's like, yeah, yeah, you're going to live that long. And then somebody says on the text line, one what, Dana? Gallon?
No.
But there was one year about 3-4 years ago where my enzymes were elevated, as usual. And I said to Dr. Buss, I said, am I going to live long enough to see Maya graduate college?
Yeah.
And he looked over at me and with a deadpan face, he goes, no.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
He goes, if you don't stop, you're not going to live.
Yeah. Well, and they're not in the business of lying to you.
No. I mean, and I'd been going to Dr. Buss for 25 years.
And they've seen it all. They've heard it all.
Sure.
You know, I was telling Scott this. Well, I texted him this, Sam, before I got here. My blood pressure was elevated when I went in. But I was rushing around like a maniac per usual.
Well, you could have white coat syndrome.
And nah, I don't mind being at the doctor. I mean, I made the appointment. But when the nurse went to take my blood pressure, I'm thinking, oh my God, this is going to be high. It was high. And so at the very end.
It was 150 over 100.
Yeah, at the very end of the appointment, 106. The doctor looked down and she goes, oh, we need to talk about your blood pressure. And I go, no. I go, look, I'm usually low. My blood pressure is usually low, but I was running in here like a maniac. I had had 2 Diet Cokes. I just took my medicine, like all of the things. So she takes it again, and then I'm like worried, oh God, if it's elevated again, what am I? I'm going to go in blood pressure jail? Like, I don't even know what happens because I've never been high ever.
Are you not on blood pressure medication?
No.
Oh, see, I am.
No.
Things do change, though, as we
mature.
When I walked out, Daniel.
God, why?
Daniel, when I walked out, it was 120. Normal.
Yeah.
Over like 98. She's
that's not good.
Bottom number's too high. And I'm like, but again, I think if you came and took my blood pressure in an hour when I'm just sitting here doing my job, it's not going to reflect that.
Okay.
Or I'm getting older and I have high blood pressure. News to me.
Well, you know what increases your blood pressure?
Alcohol.
Drinking one per night.
A gallon a night is going to get that elevated.
Not after
every
that
time.
First couple of zips, it doesn't.
Okay.
Down we go.
I'm feeling no pressure.
Susan Smith denied parole today.
Amen.
Susan Smith was denied parole.
Good.
Here's a story from ABC News. Susan Smith, a South Carolina woman who admitted to drowning her 2 children 30 years ago, almost to the day, was denied parole. The vote was 7-0. After she appeared before the board for the first time on Wednesday, quoting here from Susan Smith, who was crying, may have been crocodile tears, we don't know. I know that what I did was horrible, and I would give anything if I could go back and change it. I love Michael and Alex with all my heart. I wish I could take it back. I really do. I am a Christian, and God is a big part of my life, and I know that He has forgiven me. Her ex-husband, David Smith, also emotional when he testified, this was not a tragic mistake. She purposely meant to end their lives. I've never felt any remorse from her for it. She came pretty close to causing me to end my life because of the grief that she brought upon me.
Now, did she admit in court that she did what she did because she wanted a relationship with another man who didn't want kids?
Yeah, there was another guy she had met who didn't want kids. Yeah. And the other thing about it, without getting into the details, because I don't know that my heart can handle it, is...
Clearly not with that blood pressure.
Thank you. Manner...
Low blow.
I think the manner of death does matter
Yeah.
And it really matters in that case specifically, and I'm not going to get into details. You know, it matters.
Yeah. I agree with you on that. Absolutely.
So, good.
Burn in hell. Literally, burn in hell. All right, quick break. Dana Wright, she is back. Blood pressure is down. Sam Stevie III, my name is Scott, here on KMBZ. Story here from Channel 9. It's out of Overland Park. Police in Overland Park are searching for a suspect in an early morning sexual assault and theft case. Someone called 911 at 2:40 this morning and said they were sexually assaulted by a stranger in a home near West 97th Street and Reeder Drive. You said that's near Quivira.
It's Neiman. Just east of Neiman Road. And just south of 96th or north of 98th. It's a call. It looks like a dead-end circle that leads to a cul-de-sac.
Go ahead.
About two blocks from Oak Park Mall.
Okay. While the victim did not know the suspect, they were able to provide a description saying the person of interest was clean-shaven, a man, obviously, with a stocky build, believed to be in his late 20s or early 30s, last seen wearing a black jacket and a black beanie-style cap. Police provided a photo of the individual believed to be the suspect in this case. The victim taken to the hospital. If you have any information, you're asked to call the Overland Park Police Department.
So
did not know her attacker.
The name of the neighborhood is Kingston Oaks. Residents who live there say they are stunned, as you would be. Everyone is super concerned for the survivor of this assault. And they say it has sent shockwaves through the area. Sure. Quoting here from one of the neighbors, the concern we have here is we are a private neighborhood and we have no lighting. We have no lights here at all. If you look around, there are no street lights. Quoting here from Diana Meese. She says she's lived in the neighborhood 28 years. Many of the neighbors are senior citizens. You know, I wanted, they have what appears.
I haven't seen the picture.
Oh, it is a very clear photo.
Isn't that the guy from the convenience store?
The photos look to be from a convenience store, meaning that either prior to this attack or after this attack, they probably went to local businesses and said, hey, look, you know, can we see your surveillance?
Huh.
I would say definitely between 20 and 30 years old. He's wearing blue gloves, what appears to be a nice winter jacket, and a three-colored beanie. It goes light gray, mid-gray, black, the colors of that stocking cap. But the photos are so clear. If you know who this is, you know who this is.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Just a month ago, and I'm not suggesting that these are in any way connected, there was a sexual assault in the middle of the day near 101st and Metcalf. Man in his 40s, white male, jeans, clean shaven. Again, not suggesting these are connected in any way, but this is an area that is not known for this happening.
No, of course not.
At 2:30 in the morning, I mean, it's just, this is the boogeyman in the middle of the night. For women listening everywhere, one of your worst nightmares.
So, by the way, because I thought for a second that you were looking at the wrong story. You're not.
No.
Because I'm watching the story on Channel 9. They want that guy, by the way, in the picture, also for a sexual assault at that convenience store. That story came out 3 days ago, and he also matches the exact same description of the person in this story.
Good God. Wait, there was a sexual assault.
At a convenience store a couple of days ago.
A convenience store a couple of days ago. And you're saying the descriptions match.
That's why when you showed me that picture of this man, I thought, no, Dana's on the wrong story. And I was going to wait till the commercial break to tell you that. But then I'm watching the actual story about this one on the Channel 9 website, and they're showing a completely different picture of the same person.
Really?
Or what looks like the same person.
All right, who is it? And we will post this all over our social media platforms. The photo is so clear that if you know this individual, you are immediately going to know who this is.
Yeah. Because the picture that they're showing on Channel 9 on this video that I'm watching looks just like the guy you showed me from that sexual assault and theft at the gas station 3 days ago, except he's wearing different clothing. He's wearing a black top in this one, and his beanie cap is black.
Hmm.
Not gray and blue or whatever you said it was. Hmm.
And this is a nice, secluded neighborhood. There's a community pool on the street corner.
I'll be darned.
You know, are we all, I don't want to say all.
How did he get in?
Well, I was just going to ask you, are most of us guilty of just being a little too lax when it comes to triple checking? And I'm not talking in this case at all.
No, I know.
We don't know if he smashed his way in. We don't know if he had a weapon. They did not provide those details. Nor, quite frankly, does it matter. We need him caught and off the streets. But is it not a reminder that we all need to be more vigilant than we probably are once you settle into your home and your routine and that's your sacred space?
Yeah.
You know, until something like this happens, I don't think we think about it enough.
Overland Park Police always talk about the 9 p.m. rule.
Yep.
Car's locked, garage door closed.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure all the doors are locked. And if you have trouble remembering doing that, set an alarm for 9 p.m.
See, I know this is going to come as no shock to either one of you. When it comes to locking up the house, I'm a lunatic. Like crazy.
Unless it's the middle of the day and the garage door is open.
I wasn't going to say it.
But the car is locked and the garage door leading into the kitchen is locked. You can't access the house. If you want to steal my rake, take my rake. I don't care. I'll go get another one. But when we go to bed, I double and triple check everything. This is how sick I am in the head. When I open the door leading into the garage, I can't see outside. But I will still wave my hand to trigger the lights in the garage just to double check. And I talk to myself, and I'm like, door down, door down, door down, door down. Then I close the door, lock it, tell myself that I've locked the door. Then I check the back door, the front door, go upstairs.
Last thing I do before bed every single night is make sure that both locks on the front door are locked.
Mm-hmm. I'm serious. You cannot be, well, I was going to say you can't be too safe. Maybe you can, but not in my house. I'm not getting stabbed in the middle of the night by crazy. And we don't know how this guy accessed this home in Overland Park at 97th and Reeder. But he got in somehow. And this woman claims that she was sexually assaulted.
I mean, she was taken to the hospital, Scott, the whole nine. It's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. They have to get him. They have to figure out who this is. You don't just wake up one day as a law-abiding citizen and decide you're going to break into a woman's house and do that.
And I'm surprised that, you know, and we know people in the Overland Park Police Department. It's a great police department. We just interviewed the new chief a couple of weeks ago. But this guy looks like the same guy from 3 days ago. I mean, I would be blasting this picture everywhere.
I woke up this morning and saw it on social, and then a couple of girlfriends who are very close to me texted me and said, you have to talk about this.
Yeah.
He is still out there. He's not going to stop. You have to talk about this so that they can figure out who this is.
Do we know where this second picture of him came from? Because it's not in the convenience store.
I do not. I mean, and we have reached out to the Overland Park Police Department.
Okay. 913-586-7798. 913-586-7798 on Dana and Parks. Story here from the UK Independent. Rust, the Alec Baldwin starring Western that was struck by tragedy after the onset death of a cinematographer 3 years ago, is finally set to premiere this week. The film made its debut at a film festival in Poland yesterday. In fact, demand for tickets was so overwhelming, it crashed the festival's website.
I didn't see that coming. I mean, I thought people would shy away from that film. I don't have any interest in seeing it at all.
The mother of the young lady, Helena Hutchins, did not, says she is boycotting the movie.
Of course.
I don't know how you could go. By the way, we have a story in the stack today. Everybody's been on a flight at least once in your life, probably. And there's a new survey out about how many people want airlines to ban seat reclining in flight.
Yesterday.
The number's higher than I thought it would be. Comcast announcing a plan to spin off most of its cable television networks into a separate publicly traded company. The new company will include the USA Network, CNBC, MSNBC, Oxygen, E!, Sci-Fi, and the Golf Channel. Comcast will retain key NBC Universal assets, including NBC, NBC News, NBC Sports, and Peacock.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Rumor is Comcast, what I heard this morning, we don't do politics, Comcast does not want to get into the political fray after January 20th, so they're spinning off all of their, that's why they're getting rid of MSNBC and CNBC, et cetera.
But they're still going to go to the same mothership.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sounds like a tax thing to me.
Maybe. A missing skydiver's been found dead over the weekend after his parachute failed to deploy, according to authorities in Louisiana.
Yep.
The unidentified skydiver, described as a man sporting an orange wingsuit, was reported missing by the Gilliam Airport just before 1:30 on Saturday. Authorities said deputies were informed that the man's parachute malfunctioned. You think? Gilliam is a village about 23 miles from the city of Shreveport.
Well, someone was flying the plane. Was it a tandem jump? And so
it doesn't indicate that it was.
Yeah, clearly.
Just one person.
He goes to do the jump, and then how does this work? Is there someone on the ground waiting for you when you complete your jump?
There is typically a landing spot. So you are supposed to land within a certain radius of a point, and they will come and get you. Typically in an open field with no trees.
By the way, later on in this story, and I read a separate one on this than the one I sent you, Sam, they mentioned in the story, I don't know why they had to, the man missed the landing spot.
Really? Yeah, that's because his parachute didn't deploy. It's kind of hard to float to your landing spot when you're free falling to your death.
You know, for years, there were three things when I was younger that I vowed I would do in my life. Mm-hmm. And now all three things I have zero interest in doing. One was to visit Antarctica. I have no interest now.
You saw the cost.
Yeah. And I hate the cold weather. So I have no interest in seeing Antarctica. I was also promising myself when I was in my 20s, someday I would run for Congress and try elective office. There are so many skeletons in this closet that I don't want to hear about anymore. That's out.
Yeah. I honestly, I don't know why anyone would.
And then the other thing I was going to do, because my dad was an airborne ranger, I promised that I would also parachute out of a plane. That's off the table.
If you ever had the opportunity to parachute with the Rangers through media contacts or anything like that, I think that would be one of the greatest full circle moments of your life. But just to go up in an airplane and attach yourself to somebody that you hope was paying attention when they packed that parachute, hard pass.
See, I still want to do it, but I even signed up and chickened out within the time frame necessary to get my full refund.
I don't think I told you guys this. Speaking of chickening out, last year, Commander Jesse Reed, good friend of the program, sometimes fills in for you, got me hooked up with the Blue Angels to go up and fly with them when they came to town last year. I signed up. I was ready to go. And I chickened out.
I wondered whatever happened to that. I knew you had been invited.
I passed on it. And it was with a very heavy heart. I called Jesse and I said, man, I really appreciate everything that you've done to get me. You know how much I love Top Gun and all that stuff. And I said, I really appreciate it. I said, I don't think I can do it. I just don't think I have the guts.
Oh, I would love to do that. I bungee jumped like 10 times.
Nope.
Oh, hell no.
Nope. And nope.
Yeah. Got to do that one right, though.
When you get, you think?
Oh, I stepped off the first time. You don't step, you dive.
That's why they call it bungee jumping.
Yeah.
I would not physically be able, that moment where they're like, okay, this is go time, I wouldn't be able to do it. I just wouldn't. They would have to shove me off the platform. I wouldn't be up on a platform anyway. But if I was, I would not be able to actually do the thing you need to do to.
Oh, they'll push you.
Mm-mm-mm.
And if you refuse to go, obviously they won't force you to go, but they'll get in your ear and say, hey, we can push you if you want. And they will. I've never been pushed.
Oh, my God. See, but Sam, I think as you get more and more mature, you're going to all these things that you think you want to do now. You're going to say to yourself, no chance. It's not worth it.
I was 21 when I chickened out of jumping out of a plane.
But when you get a wife and some kids, everything in your life, you're going to rethink.
Yeah.
Do I really need to go doing something that's going to nullify my life insurance? The answer for most people is no.
Yeah. And now that I've got two kids and they're still young and I want to walk them down the aisle someday and visit my grandkids, all this crazy, stupid stuff that I thought I wanted to do once, like jump out of a perfectly good airplane at God knows how many thousands of feet, those things are off.
If your bungee cord is too long, does that fall under AD&D?
Yeah, accidental death and dismemberment?
Uh-huh.
It would be a preventable type of accidental death and dismemberment.
You're by preventable, you mean don't go up there?
Well, yes.
When you hit the rocks, you're dismembered.
Yes.
Completely and totally dismembered. And your death was indeed accidental.
It's because not the fall of the dismemberment.
No, it's not the fall. All right, quick break for the news. Hey, don't forget, if you have time and you're able and willing, we're collecting money for Coats for Kids 2024. Our goal this year is $60,000. And all the money, every penny, stays here in Kansas City, five local school districts. Every penny is also used to buy new coats for children who don't have one. Go to KMBZ.com and just follow the Coats for Kids tab. It'll take you to a safe and secure website or text KMBZ Coats, one word, to 44321. And thanks to Pinnacle Bank for having our back all these years with Coats for Kids 2024.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.